Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey there, Roy here. If you're a business owner or entrepreneur trying to figure out where AI actually fits into your business, not just hype, not just tools, but real leverage, then this is a conversation you want to hear. Today, I'm joined by Roger Campbell II, founder of the AI Business Foundry and Gemstack, someone who's helping businesses all over the world elevate what they do with AI. Now, we're not just talking about which LLM is best, we go deeper. You're going to hear about Roger's personal story, how he became an entrepreneur, and how he pivoted his company into the AI space. And more importantly, how can you start using AI today to empower your team, save time, create space for the things that matter most in your business and your life? We talk about real frameworks, how to get your team on board, and how to think about AI strategy, and even how AI can help you reclaim your time and your mental clarity. There's so many gems in this episode. So stick with it till the end, because the final section, where Roger shares exactly where business owners should start thinking about AI, is pure gold. If you're ready to stop dabbling and start elevating with AI, then let's dive in.
I don't often get a chance to talk to somebody that's very aligned with my vision, my goals, my passions, and then just an interesting guy. And I'm here with Roger Campbell II. And Roger is in the AI space. He's in Austin. He's a business owner, entrepreneur. He's built companies, scaled companies. I'm sure also failed in the couple, because who doesn't in this world? And we're both really digging into this AI space and how AI can really help business owners. And we've done have a couple of calls together. And every time I speak to Roger, he just inspires me to do something else. What I'd really like to get to in this conversation is, how can we give you something useful to take away from this? And Roger's already shared so many useful things with me. So let me introduce Roger. Roger, please tell everybody a little bit more about what you do with your various businesses. What are you really looking forward to in the world of AI?
Ooh, good questions. So first, my name, as Roy said, is Roger Campbell II. My main company is called Gemstack. I've had the company for about the last 5 years and started off as a consulting firm. And we help with a lot of different technology needs, mostly focused on education in the software engineering space. But then around 2020, we started to see that customers had a different set of needs, and it was more around emerging technologies around like artificial intelligence and blockchain. So we started to look at the market and tried to understand like, how can we help best fit that? And what we started to realize is that there's a lot of opportunities that people are trying to dig into from a consulting and also just an operational perspective. So we started to look at, where can we meet people in the middle? And that's where my current company, the AI Business Foundry, was born. And what we looked at is, there is this need to teach non-technical and technical members within organizations how to leverage artificial intelligence. So we created this org as that go-to marketplace. And what we did was reposition Gemstack, because a lot of our customers started coming to us. I have this idea to use AI in this way. I have this idea to build this kind of product, and have now repositioned Gemstack as more of a venture firm. And we use Gemstack as a vehicle where we are building companies with some of our past clients and new clients. So we help in two ways. One, helping people understand how can they leverage technology in their business and where does it fit in, training their staff, educating their staff, and while also building solutions like agents and automations. And then on the other side, we help actually companies scale out these new ideas and bring the development teams that are needed to take something to market.
What's the most interesting idea you've seen somebody come up with so far?
Ooh, there's been quite a few. I'll say one of the ones that I can talk about is a brand. There's a brand that we have under management called Tend to Launch, and it's a 10 days, 10K build a brand. And there's two other founders in this along with Gemstack, and one has this background in traditional boutique branding and she has her own branding firm that she's ran for the last 12 years, but she felt like she was leaving a lot of clients behind because her normal engagement is 6 to 9 months, $30,000 to $120,000 to build your brand, manage your brand, and spin it out. The other one owns a development firm. And we put our heads together and collaborate and realize there's this really cool ways to leverage AI, especially generative AI, to fill that gap where either starting founders or people who've recently bought businesses that are looking to build their brand, maybe bought the business or have already gotten some traction, but don't have the revenue to go to a traditional branding firm, they still need that brand help. So we looked at how we can pull these technologies together to help those. And I think that's like the really cool thing with AI right now in its current space is that it's a huge enabler. There's a really cool opportunities to build quickly and efficiently without having to have the spend that you would normally have with building with technology.
I like to liken it to having 1,000 experts in the room. You've got 1,000 experts sitting in the room with you, right? And you're able to take your brain, which was initially bringing the information in and processing it, and you're able to process it externally. And you can really elevate yourself. You can elevate yourself so well. We call it AI elevation. Every single area of your business and your life and everything you do can be elevated. And it should be elevated. We're in a process now where the humanity is evolving, and AI is that evolving enabler. Yes, so exciting, isn't it? So let's go a little back a little bit. Tell me about Roger from old. How do you get to be an entrepreneur? So often, I built out. It doesn't tell that. I love that story when you were sitting there at your real job, and you were busy doing things if you had a real job. And you realize that we weren't employable anymore. I can't do this anymore. But then it takes guts, it takes balls, dare I say it, to actually take that step. So tell us that story if you can.
So I think I have a little bit of an atypical story when it comes to entering entrepreneurship. It was not intentional by any means. It was actually due to tragedy, and I don't mean to bring the note low, but in 2020, my mother passed suddenly, and I was working a traditional job. I was on salary, and through a lot of therapy, realized I needed a break. I needed a mental break. And it just so happened that I got an offer from a headhunter for a contract to help Amazon build some curriculum. And so I'm talking it over with my therapist, and it was like, it's a 6-month contract. I have a really cushy job. I was a director at a company that was helping kids learn how to code. We build pipelines for individuals who were trying to enter the software engineering field. So we had a high school, a college, and an adults division, and I was the director of the children's. So I ran a high school dev shop during the day, virtually 30 kids in there, teaching them how to be software engineers. And then we ran various other organizational events in the community around Delaware. And I'm like, okay, I'm making huge impact. I love what I'm doing, but I also need this clarity break and this mental health break. And I decided to go with the contract. So I took a 6-month contract, went out on a ledge, never done that before. And that contract turned into another contract and another one. And 2 years later, I'm like, oh, I probably need to start a business. Like, I'm getting this work. I now need help. And it was all around the software engineering education space. So went from Amazon, taught a cohort with Microsoft, teaching military veterans with top secret clearances to work on DoD contracts. That then turned into helping a blockchain foundation build out curriculum to teach traditional software engineers how to develop on the blockchain and various other projects within that space and that sphere. So about a year and a half, 2 years into doing it, I incorporated, started Gemstack, started bringing on a team. And our main point of business at that point was helping companies do those types of things of educating people in software engineering. So the mindset shift for me was more so just a let me try this out. And as I got further and further down the hole, I realized, oh, I'm not employable. Like, I like this entrepreneurship thing. Like, I'm actually pretty good at managing relationships, and I'm okay at talking to people and understanding what are their pain points and finding where my skill set and my expertise aligns with my passions. And I'm in a better position to do that by doing my own thing rather than taking a salary from someone else. So it was an interesting transition for me, and it was very unexpected. with a lot of bumps and hurdles in between.
And I think that's true for everybody. There's just it's a bumpy road, right? We spoke a bit about being coachable in the past, and that's the big thing I learned. Yeah, I've realized I have to be coachable because I love learning. I love the process of learning. I've got things going on all the time. I'm learning this new tool and that new tool and marketing. But I can either do that myself in the old traditional way, or I can go out through a coach and he can help me. And that just makes it the transition so much easier and so much shortcutting that goes on, right? You just don't have to go and make those failures and lose those things. So yeah, that's awesome. You've got this now. You've got two companies up, and you're on this journey of evolution. But at the same time, the world has gone nuts, right? The world has gone totally nuts, and I'm not going down that the horrible nuts way. I'm just so excited about AI, and I'm so excited about all the different ways and all the different things that you can do with AI, and how you literally, if you embrace it in your daily life. And you embrace it in everything you do, you just become a better communicator with it. You not only become, one of my favorite books in the world is this one. I don't know if you've read this before.
I do. It's one of my mother's favorite books.
The Four Agreements. And this is all about communication. And I just relate that back to the AI stuff that I'm doing at the moment and how I'm trying to coach and teach people AI, is you have to have these four principles. And once you understand those core principles and you then understand how to communicate properly, it just makes everything work so much better. What's your experience around you? What are the lessons been on your journey of AI? What are some of the useful things that people can learn from?
I think in a lot of our work, the biggest thing we hear is people don't know where to start, or they feel overwhelmed by the options that are in front of them. There's just so much noise. Use this tool, use that tool. You have to be doing this. You have to prompt like this. If you're not doing this, you're falling behind. And I think I always tell my students back when I was teaching software engineers is the first day of class, I always walk in and I say, you'll never know more than you don't know. So get over that now.
That's for sure. I love that. That's just awesome. I really like it.
And it's so true, especially as like in as a software engineer, as in anyone who works with like engineering skills, there's always something else to learn. And like part of being an engineer is there's always another problem to solve. Like being an engineer, you're a problem solver. You have to go in, you have to write code. Like someone tells you, like, here's this thing I'm trying to do. I want your code. I want to write a code base to do it. Figure that out. And then as you're figuring it out, you run into problems and you have to figure that out. And the same methodology of figuring it out went into creating artificial intelligence. And if we look at the word, what we're trying to do is we're trying to replicate the human brain in a digital space and give it the ability to think and do tasks for us. And in that, we've had to figure it out. I say that to bring it around. And I think the biggest takeaway I've had working with people and helping them understand where artificial intelligence fits in the business or in their daily lives is pick one thing. Just pick one area where you see inefficiencies or that you could use help trying to do faster, or one area you already do really well. And you think, man, if I could use my expertise to make that better, this would be a great place to start. And if you can just pick that one thing and either find the tool or the solution that can complement you, or figuring out how to just work with a large language model like ChatGPT or Claude to help you replicate that process, that's an awesome place to start. And it can alleviate a lot of that tension and that fear around, I don't know where to start. Because that's really the thing that is needed with this. Like we're at the point right now where like back in the 90s, people would say, I use the internet in my business. I use email.
We got an email server. I remember installing one of the first email servers of one of my biggest clients. And
Like we have Bell Cell in our office, like DSL, no more dial-up,
yeah,
right?
back with the
Yeah, like we're there right now. So it's like in a couple of years, this will persist across everything we do in business to the point where you won't have to think about it as actively as you do now. So if you could just start familiarizing yourself in one area, that'll lead to two, which will lead to three, which will lead to six, 12, and so on and so forth. So I just think that's like really important. That's been the biggest takeaway that I've had is just like helping people and helping yourself get started and get going by just starting with one area.
Let's talk to large language models because everyone hears the word, and there's all this confusion around large language models. Should I use what should we go? What are the things that I should use? And I've come to the conclusion that it doesn't really matter. There's a couple of things that matter if you're doing it at work, security wise, does your company allow it? Obviously that's a big play. If you've already got Google and you don't want to pay for the ChatGPT subscription, then the Gemini's included. And if you can't afford any of those, you've got Grok and you've got a whole range of others you can use. But in the main, you can learn to approach the AI language. You AI elevate yourself to be able to speak AI, basically. That's what we're talking about. You speak AI. And these large language models, pretty much along that line. How have you found, which are the better, and not to put you on the spot, but what do you find better? Is there a stack that you use?
Which language model do I tend to use more? It really depends on my use case. I'll be 100% honest with you. If I know I'm working with a lot of information, we record everything in my companies. Like all of our conversations are recorded. And so when we're working on client work, as long as we have client permission, we're normally recording that using AI to summarize, provide us insight, help us build proposals, help us to write requirements for things that we're developing. So if I'm loading in a 2-hour transcript of a call we've had, I'm probably going to use ChatGPT. Because the context window is just so much bigger. When I say context window, I just mean the amount of information you can give it, right? How many characters, how many words can you provide it without that window being overflowed? And then it's saying it can't look at anymore. So if I'm doing something like that, I'll probably go to ChatGPT just because it can handle that. If I'm looking to write and I want like things articulated more in my voice, and then I'm probably going to Claude. Or if I'm doing some type of coding, I'm going to Claude. And it's interesting. The reason why I use Claude over ChatGPT is because for right now, for some reason, in the O3 model, ChatGPT writes in British American or British English. Sorry.
I'm right there. It doesn't do it any worse.
Like, which is really odd because, like, my business partner, she's been pointing that out to me. Like, I've been writing stuff and specialized with an S instead of a Z. So sometimes there's these nuances. But to get back to your question, I think if you're just starting off, just getting started with one is the best place. It's like the question of, should I use Google Workspace in my business or Microsoft 365? I don't know what's better for you, right? That's something you have to discover. And I don't think there's a right or a wrong here. And there's some of them have better use cases, but quite frankly, if you're just getting started, you won't be able to know the difference, which is okay. And once you start to notice, like, oh, ChatGPT doesn't do this for me, that's when you can start to like branch out and try something else. So, like, I totally agree with your initial assessment of whatever's readily available to you. If your company is already offering Copilot because you're a Microsoft environment, then go with Copilot 365. If you're trying to do something on your own and you want something that's affordable or potentially affordable, start with ChatGPT. $20 a month will get you on the pro plan, which is like a great place to start. So yeah, I think it's I don't they most definitely have their pluses and their minuses and the pros and cons as you dig into it. But for the average user getting started, any of them will suffice.
Cool. You touched on a point there that I get questions on quite often. And you also told me the last time we met something quite useful. Talking about get to talk in your voice. You just walk us through a way that you can do that effectively with a large language model.
Yeah, so I love having the large language models tell me how to do something. So two things I want to cover, I'll talk about here is one is meta prompting. So anytime I'm trying to do something, I will have the large language model I'm working with tell me how to do it better. So I will just jump right into speech to text, whether it's I turn it on my Mac or I record myself with a tool like Loom or jump into a Zoom and record myself. Any way I can get the transcript or just hit the text to speech in most of the apps, right? And we'll say, I'm trying to do this thing. Here's what the outcome I'm looking for. This is why I'm trying to do it. Take this and make this into a better prompt so a large language model can understand and give me the outcome I'm looking for. And throw that into ChatGPT, and it will give me a better prompt than I could have ever written.
I've been using that for the last couple of days, since we spoke, and really loving it. Really loving it.
It's a game changer.
I'm
It's
getting to
an
the
absolute.
point that I'm not doing normal prompting now.
Yeah, and it saves you having to sit there putting hands on the keyboard and trying to figure out how do I say this. And then it also, doing that also teaches you how to write better prompts or how to at least articulate better prompts. Because I think that's the big shift that we're going to move towards, right? Is like we're going to move away from actually interfacing with large language models via typing, and it'll be more vocal. I think that's a shift we're going to start seeing over the next year or so. But so we go from meta prompting to then, okay, how do we have it speak in my own voice? What you can then do is, rather than writing a prompt saying, I want this to sound more like me, you can do something like, hey, what I'm trying to do is I want to create a guide for how I speak. So I want you to ask me a series of questions or provide me with a list of things that I can do to help you with that. And the way I did this was, what I did is I went to ChatGPT and I said, hey, ChatGPT, I want you to interview me, act as a vocal coach, act as a professional public speaker, and any other persona that might be needed to help me create a voice style guide on how Roger talks. I do a lot of teaching. I want to upload the transcripts from my last three workshops, and I want you to be able to pull from that exactly how I talk and write a guide so I can have any large language model talk just like me. And I fed that initial prompt to ChatGPT, and it gave me this three-page document on this is how I need to act as an interviewer to be able to create a voice guide for Roger. And then I loaded that into another window. I gave it the transcripts, and it literally created me a whole document that went through the rate per minute that I talk, my key verbiage that I use all the time, my token sayings and catchphrases that I use when I teach, and how to write a social media script. Oh yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, I do say a lot. I should probably stop that. And I say, cool, guys, I'm really excited. Should probably not say. But it works really well. And now my team is able to write scripts for me for social content, or able to write my signature talks for me as a first draft without me having to then rewrite it. Or when I need to have ChatGPT or any large language model write content for me, I now have that tool. And it's been a game changer for us since I've been able to do that. And then what I've done now is I've packaged that as a custom GPT that I can now give to anyone on my team to have it upload, or have them upload any of their speaking content, or even if they just record themselves talking for a bit of time, to then create these voice style guides, as we call them internally.
I saw a post from Cody Sanchez earlier today. Yeah, and she was talking about what your job is as an entrepreneur. Because we start this journey, and I use this a lot with people I coach. We start this journey as a solo entrepreneur, and we do everything, right? Yeah, and then we go out and we hire people that are like friendly. We like them. We don't have the methodology to properly hire, so we bring them on board, and that makes everything a mess because somebody does something and not everybody does everything. Yeah, then we go down to the next level, and she says that your job at that point is to make yourself redundant. You need to hire out everybody that can do your job so you don't have to do your job anymore. I love that because I ended up doing that myself in 2017. I literally went through this business operating system. I've got the two IT companies I was running. I bought out the third one. I was working 15 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. And I got down to 5 hours a week. And I'm like, okay, then nobody needs me anymore. And to me, that's the ideal goal,
That's success. That's
right?
success. To go from an operator to an owner, right?
So I love that flow from her, and it just brings me back to how I'm starting to enable business owners to do this with AI, and just where that's going to take us. It's insane. Yeah, it's really insane. We were busy building out marketing departments that are actually better than the $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year, marketing agency. Yeah, because it's got all the knowledge. And yeah, this is where we are now, right? Yeah. The train is leaving the building. It's just what's left the building. And you can get on now and you can start doing these things and you will be successful. And if you don't get on now, then you're just going to be going further and further backwards as it stands.
It's an interesting place in which we're in. I think we're at a pivotal moment where the technology is accessible and the landscape is clear enough that all you really have to do is look at what is my industry specialty. Like, what do I do really well? What is the problems in my industry? Pick one and use AI and solve it. On the venture side, we have seen so many successes with just that. Like, we're solving one problem really well. And by leveraging a artificial intelligence in that, we're able to solve that problem much quicker and much more efficiently. And as an entrepreneur, like in your business, like that's how you use it. Just Empower your teams to go out there and test it and try it. Give them the proper guidance and guidelines, right? Like, I think as an owner of an organization, your goal right now is not how do we use it, but when and where do we use it? And what I mean by that is, like, most companies, if you don't already have a strategy and a policy on how to use AI in place, that's your first area to start. Yeah. Where are we? Where are issues with us using this? Where are any of our blind spots if we were to use this? Where can we get sued? Where's any of our liability? Once we have those questions solved and we have a governance plan, then it's just, okay, now let's open the floodgates for our team. Here's our goals, right? This is what we're trying to achieve in the next 1 to 5 years. And now, where are the issues and the bottlenecks? And if you can do that in your business, it's going to unlock so much potential. And as an owner and an operator, it will, to your point, duplicate and replicate you in a way that you can just get the heck out of the way. And I think it's really cool. It's really cool. You have to be a little more methodical about it. You don't want to just open the keys to the kingdom and let anyone do whatever they want. Give them the guardrails, but then let them have fun and run with it.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I'm just thinking there through this whole process we go through. We start with what as well. Where I'm seeing so much confusion at the moment, I'm meeting business owners almost every day, and they just haven't even touched into it. So they don't know what's possible. Yeah, I don't have any idea what's possible. And there's this huge fear that AI is going to take my job. I'm going to have to go and get off my team because AI is going to do it. And I keep on saying to guys, listen, guys, imagine the same team. I had a coaching client on last night, and I was saying to her, listen, just imagine it this way around. Right? You've got a team of 10 people. Those 10 people, we're going to take them through this process of finding out your standard operating procedures. Then we're going to automate as much of those possible. And at the same time, we're going to train these people, your staff, how to use AI. You know, and as we're doing that, we're going to let them do what it is they love doing. Enable them to be more efficient in the area that they love doing. Because, I think so many things that are true at the moment is we don't know what those jobs are going to be in the future. Yep. We don't know, but the human connection is so important. Yeah. So if you have team members that can do more human connection, imagine reaching out to all your staff, your customers on a much more regular basis. Imagine being able to turn around to your staff and say, listen, you were working 8 hours a day. I'm going to pay you the same amount of, no, I'm going to pay you more money and you can work 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Having 10 people do 100 people's work rather than think about that, rather than having 10 people cut down to 2 people. That's the way that I want to approach it. I don't want to look at it as we have to lose people, because as a business owner, that's been the most painful times of my life. Yeah, with COVID, I had 150 people in COVID working for me. Yeah, it was destroying. Yeah, and coming back to your mental health, we'll talk about that as well. But yeah, this, what is that? Yeah, how can we reframe this to be a positive experience all the way around?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's, we have to look at how we can empower our teams, because I don't care what people are doing, there's always things in their jobs that are getting in their way. It's stopping them from doing the thing they like doing. And if you ask most people are looking for more out of the work they do. And I don't mean looking to do more, but they're looking for more fulfillment out of the things that they do. One of our clients right now, they're an engineering firm. They build software. They specifically build software for small regional banks. So they're like a fintech development firm, and they are in a growth phase. They have 150 employees, and over the next year, they have the projections for revenue that they need to grow their team to 300 people. But one of the areas that they have to grow, but they can't overpace in growing, is operations, specifically in HR. Most of their revenue needs to go towards the development team, because that's where the money making happens, right? So we're helping them look at how can we help them grow with the North Star of 150 employees to 300 employees while scaling operations, but not overscaling, where we end up having too much ops and then have to lay off people once we get to 300. Okay. So we're looking specifically within that operations team. And we've been, similar to like you said, looking at their SOPs. We're focusing initially on onboarding, offboarding, performance metrics gathering. So when people on that probationary period from 30 to 90 days, how do we check performance to be able to catch any snafus before they happen? And then how do we analyze those analytics that we're gaining? So three areas of focus. And within those, we're looking at, where's our opportunity for automation and artificial intelligence? Because with the current op teams, they have great standard operating processes. They know what they're trying to accomplish, but they also know where the bottlenecks are. And in that, we've already, by just doing one session with them, have been able to identify 15 opportunities for automation that will allow their current team to be able to do more just by getting these things off their plate. And that doesn't mean we're laying them off. That now allows them to be able to interact with more potential candidates. It allows them to be able to check in more with the team that's already existing. And if they were to bring on more people, which they will need to do on the op side, give them more opportunity to onboard them, train them, and give them the things that they need to be successful. I think it's really important, as you're saying, to look at it as this is an enabler. It's not a hinderer. It's not something that's going to make you slash your team. You're not going to go from a 50-person org and lay off half the org. If anything, I think you're going to do the opposite, right? You're probably going to go from a 50-person org to a 75-person org, where you probably would have needed to go to 100 before, because you would have need double the amount of people to do the work that you'd be able to produce. So I think it's really important to just look at it with helping your teams. And if you can get it into that frame, that's one of the things that we'd really try to do at the AI Business Foundry is when we come into these teams, we take a top-bottom approach. And what we mean by that is, like, we start at the top by talking with the executives and understanding where you're trying to take the business in the next 1 to 5 years. What are the growth goals? How do we equate that to something that is tangible for your team to understand? And then we go talk to the team and we say, okay, executive team has said, we need to increase sales by 20%. Let's go talk to the sales team. What's getting in the way of building the business to 20 or getting sales to 20%? Let's go talk to the ops team. What is getting in the way of getting the team or getting the business to increase sales by 20%? We take those problems that the team comes back with and we go back to leadership and we say, okay, if we were to solve three of these problems of this list of 10, which ones would really move the needle forward? And once we get that answer, those are the things we automate. Those are the areas we look for artificial intelligence to be used in. Because now we've gotten the buy-in from your team, and they've told us if we've gotten this off their plate, it would make their lives easier. So they're bought in. We have a leadership bought in because they told us the goals that matter for the business, and we've helped the team to meet in the middle. And now we have the roadmap on what to solve.
And I think the big thing here is that we're not actually really talking about AI. We're actually talking about working on the business. And this is the big, big thing that we talk about in all the coaching that I do, is you need to step back and work on the business. You need to understand your SOPs. You need to understand your hierarchy. You need to understand your people. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand those, what's your meeting cadence across the board? Is everyone having a voice? What's coming through? What are the biggest issues? How are you working things as you go through things? All of these things are the foundations of a good company. We call it the 9 core competencies. If you have these 9 core competencies properly worked out and the tools and the disciplines that you need to enable these properly, you go forward. But now we just take that and we can literally put the whole thing on the Duracell batteries and really just ramp it up, because it enables us to do it quicker, faster, more efficiently, more effectively, and with less pain points. Also, being able to understand what you're not understanding, right? I think you said before, you're never going to know more than you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. I also, I've got to do something with that. I can't think of what it is yet. But I also love this idea that as we go out and we change the way we think, we have to change the way we think. And all we need to know now is the problem. That's all we need to know. If we can just know the problem and know how to talk to AI in the correct way, we can literally solve any problem that's ever been solved and a few that you haven't even thought about before.
Yep. And you got to know the problems that matter, right? Because the big thing that I see is we'll have customers, our ideal customer is someone who's already tried AI and it hasn't worked, or tried using generative AI, or tried to use something, because they then understand the need for the strategy. I can't tell you how many times we have people come in and they're like, I want to use AI this way. And I'm like, okay, how does that move the business forward? No, but this is how we want to use it. I get that's how you want to use it. But does this solve the problem for you? They'll come to us. We bought everyone in the company ChatGPT licenses. We spent $60,000 on ChatGPT licenses for everybody, and we're seeing no productivity increases. Did you get them any training? Did you upskill them on how to use these tools? Did you show them how it's applicable to their jobs? Are you showing them how using this makes their lives easier? Or did you just say, here's something, go use it, and now it's another thing on their plate in the 8 hours out of the day that they're working for you that they have to try to figure out on their own? So I think it's a reshifting for business owners and business leaders on, to your point, what's the problem? And is this the right solution for artificial intelligence or any kind of technology? It's really important.
We have this, one of the functions that I've used so well for the last 10 years now within meetings is we have issues. So the idea is that every single team member is always in a meeting every week. Okay. And you might have small half an hour meetings all the way up to 90-minute meetings. And these meetings, there's a regular cadence. Everyone knows that they're in a meeting and it's sacrosanct. You have to do this. And the reason for that is that the business issues that basically are everywhere. You have all these business issues. The one that's right at the bottom might be damaging to the company. Yeah. A guy that is sitting in his office and never been able to talk, he never gets that out. Yeah. So we bring all these issues together and we dissect these issues. And you first of all, you combine them, you look at the whole list of issues. Okay, well, these are all the issues. Can we combine any? Right. Now let's identify, let's move the top three issues that are going to move the needle to the top of the list and talk about those. Yeah. And then we talk about those. Yeah. And then if you see some others drop off, right? It's a fascinating process. Yeah. And then you go through and you just walk through all of them. And now you have the add-on, I've really got this issue. I don't know how to fix it. Let's go and get some generative help. Right. Yeah. And yeah, instead of you sit and brainstorm and do all these things for so long, yeah, in literally 30 seconds, you've got so many more ideas than the same team that have been sitting there for weeks and weeks challenged by this.
And I think the first area that can help with that is if you know you have those meetings upcoming, using some type of meeting transcription tool like Fathom or Otter or Reed or any of the ones that are out there, Firefly, have it in all of those calls, use all of those transcripts, okay? Grab them all at the end of it, upload them in the ChatGPT and say, "Hey, I have all these transcripts where we've had a series of calls with my businesses or with my business and my employees. We're trying to solve a series of problems, trying to figure out what the biggest problem is. I want you to write a prompt based off of everything we've talked about that will help us to best be able to identify the problems that are in our business and where's the best place to start." Have it write that prompt for you, and then use that prompt and upload all those transcripts again and have it give you some suggestions.
And I come back to keep on telling people, you're not bowing down to AI, right? You really aren't. You have to keep control. If you don't keep control, it'll go away from you. And you don't have to take the answers. So many people go and they try the first thing and say, I don't like that answer. Explain why you don't like that answer. Explain what's wrong with it. And that's the one point. And the other point is I call ChatGPT, I call him Chad. He's a yes man, right? Large language models are total yes men. And if you want to do a bit more on that, what's a yes man? Right. So he comes into your office and he sits there and he says, you say, I've got this idea. I want to go out and do this thing. He says, that's such a good idea. I really love that idea. I think that's going to be amazing. Can you help me do this? I'll do everything for you. I'll create your website. I'll do this. I'll do this. So then you're going down this path. Of a yes man path, which we all know is dangerous, right? However, if you actually get the model to critique you and to look at your ambiguities and to look at how you're doing things and what are you missing, right? I was literally doing this earlier on today. I'm just working on YouTube Shorts and trying to figure out how to do that. And I said, let me know what's going on here. He came back and said, you shouldn't just use Shorts. You should use other stuff as well. I'm like, I know that. So there's so much more information in what you don't know. You have to go to what you don't know, be able to embrace it.
You have to look at the way when we normally do like a prompting workshop, and people always say, I don't understand how to have ChatGPT or insert any large language model name do what I want to do. And I'm like, okay, if I was to ask you to go make me a cup of tea, what kind of tea would you go make me? What would you do? And they say, oh, I'd get up and I would go and I'd get whatever tea was in the kitchen that's there and bring it back to you and make it to you, make it for you. And I'd be like, that's great. You'd probably bring me black tea. And the problem with black tea is I'm working on my blood pressure right now and my doctor doesn't want me having high caffeine. So I actually need a decaf tea. So I need like probably an Earl Grey decaf because if not, my doctor and my fiance are not going to be happy with me. And then they'll look at me and be like, Roger, I didn't know that. Oh, because I didn't give you context. And it's the same thing with working with a large language model. You have to remember, it's funny, like we hear the term AI And then when you look at it longer, artificial intelligence, we think of it as this alien thing, but it's really not. We are literally trying to take the human brain and digitize it. So the same way you would interact with another person is how you should be interacting with these large language models. The thing about it is, like, you're these large language models, at least right now, you're their boss. And to your point, they're trying to be this yes person. They're trying to make sure they make you happy, because if you they don't make you happy and give you the things you want, they get reweighted and changed. Right? They go from ChatGPT 3.5 to ChatGPT 4, and they don't want to be reweighted, right? Like, they are literally being trained to give you what you need. That's how these models are trained. So I think it's just really important to look at it from the perspective of, this is just like me talking to a person, and I have to give them just as much, if not more, information about what I'm trying to accomplish so they can help me to succeed in what it is I'm trying to do.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. And I think you're just touching on a couple of things. We spoke a little bit about mental health. We spoke a little bit about wellness and touching on these things. And I really see this opportunity for AI to give us time back and to give us clarity. I love brain dumping my stuff on voice to ChatGPT, or literally back and forth conversation, because it gets out of my head. But it gives me clarity of mind. I can put that aside somewhere. I don't have to worry about it. And it opens up my brain. And if we can get this more time, and this is where we're going to an era where there's more time. If we can get this more time, then we can spend more time working on our mental health and our physical health and our families. And pickleball, you love a bit of pickleball, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. First time I've heard about pickleball. Yeah, I'm gonna have to try it now. I'm gonna have to try it.
Yes, I would highly recommend it. It's a fun game,
How long
fun
you been doing?
sport. Only a couple of months. But I'm a fast convert. The first time I played, I'm like, this is silly. And now we play 4 or 5 times a week. We, my fiance and I, like last night, we had played a league. We played 2 leagues a week. We played Sunday and Mondays. And we were playing last night until 11:30, started around like 8. And it's a good time. It's a good time. It's been a good mental health break.
That's exactly it, right? It's a physical break, it's a mental health break.
Yes.
What were you doing before that? Did you have a routine and a regime?
No,
How
I was a little
much
too
is that?
focused on work.
And how much has that helped you almost daily in terms of your clarity and your energy?
I would say a lot. I think one of the things that I've noticed about it is when we don't play or we've taken a couple of days away, I miss it. And it has, I won't say forced, but it has allowed me to realign my priorities in the day to give me the opportunity to get to it. I know Mondays is game night. We have pickleball Monday nights, and we have to be there normally. We either have a league at 8 or at 9 at night. So I know we need to be done with work, fed, and ready by no later than 6:37, so we can leave to get on time. So my Mondays, I already know, like, I need to be finishing up shop around 4:35, so I can get back to the house and clean and make dinner. And then we normally play Wednesday or Thursday, or maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So the same thing happens. So I think it's allowed me to be more proactive in my day, to not be carrying over work until 8 o'clock, because I can go to bed at 9 or 10 or 11. And it's no, like, I need to go meet up with the crew and we need to go play some pickleball. So it's given me that. And then also, I think just being able to get that time and that space away from work has been nice. Just running multiple companies and always having my head in the business, it's allowed me to be able to just step away and be in an environment where that doesn't matter, which has been nice.
And you touched on the community piece there as well. You get to see, yes, different people, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
which is
And
also,
we're improving. We're
yeah.
improving together. We're working towards something. 'Cause, like, when we first started playing the first season of our league, like, we got destroyed. We did not win a single game. Like, we had 9 or 10 game nights. It was like 10 weeks. And you play for an hour in a match. Mind you, a game might last 5 to 15 minutes. So it's
Okay.
one to many of games in an hour that you're playing. And we lost every one to many of games for the first season. So there was this aspiration to get better.
Such a good lesson, that. Such a good lesson, right? Yeah, keep on going. Step, and go. Keep on going. Yeah. Amazing. So the time's really flown. It's been
It
so amazing
has.
talking to you. Yeah, it really has been amazing talking to you. We'll have to do this again as things evolve.
Yes.
Firstly, let everyone know how they can get hold of you, and we'll make sure it's also taped below the YouTube and the podcast.
Yeah. Easiest place to get a hold of me is LinkedIn. You can find me there on LinkedIn as Mr. Roger Campbell. It's RogerCampbell. Or if not, you can come to the website, the AIBusinessFoundry.com. So it's just AIBusinessFoundry.com. Two best places to find me and to interact with me. And I'm looking forward to chatting to anyone who has questions on how does artificial intelligence fit into their business, and it'll help you figure that out.
And one final thought from you. What's the one thing that business owners need to think about now, above all else in AI?
Where are the biggest bottlenecks in your business? What are the things that are really getting in the way of helping your company move the needle forward? And identify those. And once you identify the list that I'm sure you'll find, what are the bottlenecks that have standard operating processes or have a process that you can create a standard operating process around? Because those are normally the best places to start off with artificial intelligence and automation.
Cool. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Roy.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.